Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look back at the Detroit Lions' Week 11 victory against the Chicago Bears. We discuss the Lions' 31-26 win. We'll touch on what went well, the pivotal moments in this game, concerns and takeaways, as well as any major storylines coming out of this contest. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. It drops on Mondays. James, like last week, but unlike last week, this was a game to remember.
Yeah, for the first like 3.5 quarters, it looked like for the wrong reason.
Yeah, there was the end was in doubt, and there were a lot of questions, a lot of emotions going through us. You know, as we get into it, I want to remind the listeners here, please hit that subscribe and like button. It's helping us build momentum. Okay, so last week, the Lions never trailed against the Chargers, but it was a crazy close game. This week, a much different story. The Lions trailed after the first quarter, but they led at halftime. They trailed after the third quarter. They didn't take the lead again until like 30 seconds left in the game. So here's what Coach Campbell said right after the game.
You know, we turned the ball over four times, and you know, that's a hard way to live there, man. You it's hard to get out of that hole. So, you know, I was proud of the guys and the coaches. You know, nobody got frazzled. You know, we knew if we could just get the ball back in our court, we'd get a stop, score. You know, we could get some momentum back. But man, that's what I was proud of. Pressure went up, our heart rate leveled out, like we talk about. So it's a great job by a number of guys. Really, the whole team had a part in that. So, listen, it's a great win.
Okay, so James, first, let's talk. How were you feeling during the game? How were your emotions, and how many mood swings did you have?
That game was. You were just like kind of seeing the whole season collapse. You were like, man, if we lose to the Bears, like, could you just see this all falling apart? And, you know, and Goff going back to throwing interceptions and the defense not looking particularly good. And there was just a lot of bad things going on for the first three quarters of the game, you know?
Oh, I know. You know, you're thinking, oh, if the Lions lose this game, everyone's going to be calling them frauds again, you know, and that would come out right away.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, after that first drive by the Bears, I'm a little apprehensive. I mean, the Bears drive right down, they score. But going into halftime, I'm feeling comfortable. The Lions have the lead. They're looking pretty good. But then as the third quarter progressed into the fourth, that confidence, that comfortableness started to fade. And again, the Lions didn't do great in the third quarter. And they didn't play well, like you said, for most parts of this game, but they got the job done in the end. So what are your thoughts on them pulling out this victory?
Well, it was nice to see the comeback and just not rolling over when things weren't going well. I mean, three interceptions by Goff. They could have easily, especially Goff, but the whole team could have just said, well, today's not our day, and just, you know, folded their cards and gone on to Thanksgiving Day. But they didn't. So that's, you know, that's another feather in the cap of Dan Campbell, I think.
I agree completely with that. We're going to actually get more to that in just a little bit. Let's start like we do and talk about what we liked, because even though much of this game, there were many things we didn't like, I want to talk about something I liked early on, and that was the Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown. I love the play call right there. You had Dan Skipper standing up really big on the right side of that line. You had motion, everything flowing to the right. And they do the pitch play. I mean, you see this play in Madden on the video game, and they just have him go in the opposite direction and throw him the ball. And it's a foot race. And I'm sorry, I don't think anybody on that Bears defense is out going to route run him to the corner there. I thought that was an awesome play call.
Yeah. And I liked, you know, they used Montgomery a lot early in the game. Like you thought they would, kind of the revenge game narrative. And then they switched to using Gibbs. And you thought when they brought Gibbs on that maybe Gibbs was just going to be a decoy and they would go back to the rest of their guys and, you know, and then keep feeding the ball to Montgomery. But they didn't do that. And I think it kind of got the Bears, you know, that they were thinking, oh, well, Montgomery's not out, so this is not going to be a run play.
Well, how did you like that play where Montgomery lined up in the Wildcat, Gibbs was next to him, and Goff was lined up down by the wide receiver spot?
Yeah, all those trick plays, I love them. I like that Ben Johnson only does a couple of game, you know, doesn't get too crazy with it. But throwing those trick plays and those new looks and just wrinkles in there keeps every defense guessing, allows you to work new things in. It keeps the players excited too about doing that. Like the players love doing those things, those plays. So, you know, just, if you just run the plain vanilla offense all the time, the players just get bored too.
I agree with that. Yeah, and it also keeps the team a little bit less predictable for those scouting the team and trying to figure out what the Lions are going to do. And so you already brought this up, but one of the things you had to have liked was the resiliency of this team. And then it comes on both sides, the offense and the defense. And let's start with the defense. I mean, there were so many times the Lions could not get off the field, whether it was they allowed a big play, like a big run to Justin Fields, or a very dumb penalty on third down when they had stopped them. And so I would say the resiliency was with the defense. With 4 minutes and 15 seconds left, they held the Bears to fourth down and forced a field goal. And that kept it a two-score game. I thought that was a pretty pivotal moment, a pretty great thing that I liked by the resiliency of the defense.
Yeah, I was watching the game with a few friends at one of the area breweries, and one of them was like, I don't ever remember the Lions scoring two touchdowns in 4 minutes. You know, like this is not going to happen. And I'm like, well, you know, stranger things have happened. It's Detroit Lions football. But so we're not alone in expecting kind of expecting the worst sometimes.
So, James, I got to say, though, going for that field goal and getting it going up 12 versus 9, it was still a two-score game. You got to think the Lions wouldn't have kicked a field goal in that spot. They would have gone for the first down.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, just basically you need to get two touchdowns, not just a touchdown and a field goal. So it does make it harder that way. So it made some sense, but if it's Campbell, I'm pretty sure fourth and one, he's going for it.
Well, and then the other thing that was huge was the end of the game. I mean, that last drive, right? And we'll come back to how the Lions got to that. But on that last drive, you know, the Lions had the lead, but there's still time on the clock. And after the game, Coach Campbell talked about speaking to his defense before that last drive. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, no, I actually went down there. I said, it just didn't get any better than this. Like, this is the moment this is what you want to be in right now. Game on the line. You got a chance to make the big stop, man, to win this game. And Hutch goes out there and makes the sack fumble of his life for a safety. I mean, that to me is, those are the moments, man, we're built for. Like, that's what that's how we have to think. And I mean, that was what it felt like when they took the field is, you know, this is why you play this game at this level, is for moments just like that. It was awesome.
So, James, I love the fact that he went down to his defense that had varied moments of success and failure during this game and pumped them up. He wasn't like, guys, just hold on. Let's try and stop them and hold on to this game. He went up and said, hey, go make the plays. This is the moment you play for. Go win this game. And Aiden Hutchinson and the rest of the team, they did that. I mean, Hutchinson got his first sack, which also turned into a fumble, which turned into a safety, which ended the game.
Yeah, that was great to see. Because, you know, Hutchinson's been kind of a little quiet for the last couple of weeks. teams have been, you know, putting extra blockers on him, giving him extra attention, daring somebody else on the offensive line or defensive line to beat him, and holding the heck out of him, really, and not getting called for it, which is, you know, that's been frustrating. But I think he did draw one holding call in this game. So that one was nice to see on one of the runs, I think, by Justin Fields that got called back. But just the nice form on the punt of the football after the safety. That was impressive, too.
Well, you know, the form that Hutchinson showed on that celebratory punt, you know, they might have him as the backup punter because they do that, right? They have guys playing different positions. I mean, Rodrigo plays linebacker. He plays fullback. He plays special teams. So who knows what will happen there. But that was a big play because Fields has made some big plays. I mean, he had an amazing touchdown pass to DJ Moore earlier in the game. He scrambled for a ton of yards on a play. So even though the Lions had taken the lead and they were up by a field goal, it wasn't out of the realm of possibility that Chicago could go down the field and get a field goal.
Yeah, and I mean, part of this game, too, is that the Bears played very well. They played it a lot better than I think people expected to coming into this game. And Justin Fields obviously changes what they do and what that offense is able to do. So, you know, some of that in the first half and the third quarter, I was just like, well, the Bears are just playing really well. I was a little frustrated that they weren't able to put somebody on him and spy and stop him or anything like that. They didn't have a better plan, it seemed like, for Justin Fields, but in the end, it all worked out.
It did. And we talked about the defense not giving up and staying with it, especially in the fourth quarter when they needed them to make those plays. Because this game, it actually reminded me a lot of that Seattle game, a lot of the Seattle game, with the exception being the outcome at the end was different. The Lions kept getting in the way, making mistakes, but then in the end, they got the job done this time. One guy that got the job done all day long, every day, is Amon-Ra St. Brown. 8 catches, 77 yards. Not a ton of yards, but he also had a touchdown, and he had crucial catches in crucial moments. The guy just continues to show up, and he is such a dependable, game-changing player.
Yeah, it was nice to see. I mean, it's just nice to have that. And just that you can pretty much depend on that from game to game. I mean, there hasn't really been a game this season where he's been shut down. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs was very effective in the receiving game as well. Oh, yeah. You know, Jameson Williams had 2 catches, including that touchdown. So, I mean, overall, the passing game was pretty darn good, aside from the interceptions, you know.
Well, and Jameson Williams, everyone's going to look at that big touchdown catch, but he had a nice catch over the middle. Like, he got hit hard on, and if I'm not mistaken, that might have been a third down play even, but it picked up a first down, I think, and so that was pretty big too.
Yeah, that first catch, I think it went for 12, so I think it was for a first down, you know, and then they did some, you know, LaPorta wasn't as involved as normal, but Montgomery caught a couple of passes, and we at least saw some Donovan Peoples-Jones, not a whole lot. They only targeted him once, but at least he was out there with, you know, so.
He was out there, and LaPorta was quiet, but LaPorta made some catches late, including that one on one of those final drives and that 2-point conversion, and that helped give that Lions that 3-point lead. So it was interesting. I think one of the announcers mentioned him, and then shortly after that, he caught his first pass. And I was kind of like thanking the announcer for putting it out there in the universe to bring him back in to the action of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think that was like a big first down catch for LaPorta, the one that was right after the announcers mentioned him and brought him up.
So thank you to the announcers for that. James, let's talk about what we didn't like in this game, because there were some things to not like, because for a good chunk of it, you know, you thought the Lions might actually lose, because with 4 minutes and 15 seconds to go, there was a 98.2% chance the Bears were going to win this game, according to ESPN analytics. So I guess the first thing is, we probably both would agree, is the amount of running Justin Fields did on the Lions. It's more of what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and the second matchup against the Bears last year, they really were able to take that away. And I'm not quite sure why they weren't able to this time. But You know, Jack Campbell kind of struggled a little bit. I think he whiffed once or twice on Justin Fields. So the other thing that kind of was concerned to me is that they picked on Jerry Jacobs a bit. And I also was wondering why they put Jerry Jacobs on Moore and not Sutton, who seems to be your number one guy, you know, your number one corner.
Now, did he stay on him the whole game, or was it they each played one side of the field type thing?
It just seemed that Jacobs seemed to be on Moore way more often than Sutton.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's like a Sauce Gardner thing where he can only play one side of the field type of thing. But I think that Jacobs and Sutton travel around so they can follow their guy.
Well, I think another thing that I did not like in this was the time of possession. And the Bears had the ball for 40 minutes. The Lions had it for 20. And before the game, I interviewed Mike Berman out of Chicago about this game and asked him what it would take for the Bears to win. And he said they're going to have to grind it out on the ground and have long drives to keep the Lions offense off the field. And they were going to have to get turnovers. Well, with about 5 minutes left in this game, I messaged him and I'm like, this is exactly what you said is exactly what's happening so far. I mean, because that's exactly what was going on. I mean, the Lions had four turnovers in this game and the Bears had some very long drives. I mean, if you look at that, you know, in the first half, they had a 5 minute touchdown drive, a 7 minute field goal drive. In the second half, they had a 6 minute field goal drive. But then in the fourth quarter, a 3 minute field goal and an 8.5 minute field goal drive. And so even though they didn't get a ton of points, they were using clock and they were limiting the Lions' chances on offense. So that time of possession wasn't a good thing because it limited our ability to score.
Yeah. Four of those drives were double digit plays. I mean, one of them took 15 plays. And the other took 14 that the Lions defense at least played just well enough to keep those to field goals. If a couple of those possessions turn into touchdowns instead of field goals, the late game heroics are not happening.
For sure. And one of the areas the Lions struggled, one of the things I didn't know that concerns me still, was the defense. They struggled in a lot of parts of the game. Now, I do want to put out, the offense put them in some bad positions because there were four turnovers in this game. And that's going to be a big storyline coming out of this is Jared Goff had three interceptions. That stat jumps out off the table, but two of those interceptions were not his fault. The first one, Sam Laporta runs into a Chicago defender, throws off his whole timing. It was not intentional by the Chicago defender. There was no flag, but you know, I don't know if you could have called that pass interference or not. I don't know if intention matters, but then on his third or another one, it was tipped at the line of scrimmage. But there was one that was totally legit. That was an interception. And the Lions actually got lucky because there's one that should have been a pick six. And the Bears did not do that.
I was going to bring that up. And that ended up being a touchdown for the Lions soon after that, too. I think that was the TD, the short TD pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
And just a play or two before that, that should have been a pick six. I mean, they read that one when they lined up St. Brown in the backfield and then had him sprint to the left and they were all over it. And that guy just dropped it. That should have been another one. It was the second one. I think you were talking that you mentioned that was the one where he just didn't see the linebacker dropping into coverage. Matthew Stafford type thing.
And I think that's the one that they actually targeted Donovan Peoples-Jones on. So the defense, though, you know, they struggled that the offense did not put them in the best spots a few times. But as we talked about, they did bend, but without breaking a couple times, even though there were some big breakdowns, like on the long pass to DJ Moore. DJ Moore broke an amazing tackle. We thought that would be stopped on third down, and then he picks up like six or seven more yards. Any concerns that you've got that I haven't brought up yet?
You know, I mean, the Lions offensive line has done exceptionally well, but with Vitae being out, Jonah Jackson out, they're, you know, one or more injuries away from being a train wreck there, you know, and you hope that doesn't happen, but you know, they need to, with Vitae looking like he's probably out for the season, You know, they gotta start hoping. I mean, Sorsdahl played well today. He had that one holding penalty, but aside from that, you didn't really hear his name called hardly at all today. So him and Glasgow played pretty well. But they need to get Awasika a little bit more reps, maybe just to have somebody else there. And, you know, Skipper is okay for that. You know, when you have the sixth guy in the end of the line or something like that. But I don't know about if you had to trot him out there at tackle.
Yeah, no, having him there when they want that extra guy in the offensive line is good. And yeah, with Vaitai going on IR, that does make us thinner, especially because he was a starter to start the year. So it really puts you down there. So you see the Lions bringing more guys in to try and see if it's somebody that can fit what they're doing, because that's something to be aware of going forward. As far as turning points or pivotal moments, we've talked about a lot of these already, right? The Lions stopping the Bears to force that field goal. The big touchdown pass to Jameson Williams was huge. And then getting the three and out, I guess the big moment would be Justin Fields not connecting on that deep pass. If that pass is caught by Scott, you know, the game's probably over, or much more difficult to come back from at that point. And then, you know, so many different players played key roles for the Lions in this victory. They stepped up at different moments, and then Hutchinson getting that sack to end the game. Cause like you said, he's been pretty quiet, and it was nice to have him get that. And that just definitively ended. And actually Coach Campbell did give him the game ball at the end for that. So James, let's look at storylines coming out of this game. What are the big overarching themes that you're thinking about right now? What's something that's big on your mind?
Well, it was nice to see Jameson Williams, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing and being that vertical threat, you know, somebody that the defense has to respect. And that is exactly when the Lions needed to score some touchdowns at the end of the game. They went right to that and it worked. So that was great to see. One of the most positive tweets that I saw after the game was the report that CJ Gardner-Johnson could possibly be back in 2 weeks. Wow. Which would be huge. And that apparently his doctor has cleared him. I don't know if that's the Lions doctors though. So, you know, that getting him back would be huge. I mean, they need one more corner guy. I mean, he's kind of a hybrid corner safety, but, you know, but he's better than Will Harris for sure.
Yeah. You know, I've been kind of trying to figure this out. Can CJ Gardner-Johnson play outside?
I think he can. I think he's more kind of the Brian Branch role. But I think in a pinch, if they need him, he can play outside.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, obviously, you know, Jacobs and Sutton are your guys, but I just didn't know if, you know, if you needed somebody for depth. Here's an interesting thought I've been kind of toying around with, and I got to do some research on this. So I'm just coming up with this, and you can probably tell me this is a dumb idea, but a game like this against Chicago, like, that, you know, I wasn't afraid of Chicago running the ball up the middle against us. Just wasn't. But I was afraid of them going outside with Justin Fields. And the Lions run a lot of nickel. But if you get CJ Gardner-Johnson back, could you run a dime with him and Branch out there and take one of your linebackers off the field, keeping Tracy Walker? Would that give you an advantage to make you a little bit quicker? Or would that make you too susceptible and help with pass coverage and get down those mobile quarterbacks? Or would that make you too susceptible to the run up the middle?
I think it's something that you could totally do in passing situations. And Brian Branch is a safety who is a completely willing blocker to take on much bigger people and hit bigger running backs as well. So I would think that with Branch as kind of like the up safety in that dime, I think that could work pretty well.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, as physical as Branch and CJ Gardner-Johnson are, and the fact that they're willing to go up and make those hits, that could be something they could think about. Because I do still think, you know, the secondary is a work in progress still. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, we need help. Our secondary is in trouble. Our defense is bad. But, you know, the one thing I want to point out is there a perfect football team out there? I mean, record-wise, there isn't. So therefore, we know that that's not true. But even if a team has one or two losses, is there a team you look at in the NFL and you're like, wow, they're just perfect. I don't see any weaknesses.
I mean, the Eagles are probably the closest thing, I would say, right now. The next would be a team that has blown a couple of close games that in the 49ers, I would say. When the 49ers are clicking, I think that they're one of the best teams in the NFL, for sure. And the same thing with the Lions. I mean, they need somebody else to take some pressure off of Hutchinson, and they need to figure out a way to do that. And that's something Glenn's going to have to come up with, so the teams just can't double team him all the time and take him out of the play as much as they do. So that's going to be on Aaron Glenn to figure that out.
For sure. And you know, the point is the Lions aren't perfect, and you know, but together maybe they perfectly complement each other in a way that, hey, when one part of the team isn't doing well, the other part can bail them out at times. And the Lions are 8-2. They haven't been this good since like 1961 is what I think I heard them say. And so I'm not saying, you know, don't be cautious about the team and don't want things to be better, but man, it's a great time to be a Lions fan. So, you know, look for a little optimism here is what I'm kind of putting out there for that prescription. If you're feeling a little down or a little apprehensive, I mean, you know, it takes a lot of luck to win a football game too, not just talent. The Lions have a lot of talent, and they're making their own luck with their preparation. In fact, Jared Goff talked about it right after the game.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to play bad and win than it is to play bad and lose. And kind of what we did today, we played not our best ball and not my best ball for, you know, about 3.5 quarters, and found a way to make it work there at the end. It's a sign of a good team. We're a resilient group. We're tough. We have a lot of courage, and we don't back down from anything.
And so, James, this is a game the Lions would have lost 2 years ago. I mean, it's a game they did lose, right? They would get the turnovers from the other team. They would hold the lead for much of the game. And then at the end, somehow the other team comes back and wins the game. But like Goff said, man, they've got a talented team, and they won this game.
Yeah, and that was great to see, and great to see that people couldn't dredge up the same old Lions talk. That you know, actually, I heard people saying during the game, but by the end of the game, that had quieted down and gone away. So, just good to see that element was held at bay, I guess.
Yeah, and there's always going to be naysayers. There is everywhere. Before the season started, we didn't know what we would be at this point. We, you know, 6-4 might not have sounded too bad before the season started, thinking, hey, we're competitive, we're doing things right. But obviously, every week that's gone on, I mean, those first couple big primetime wins, expectations rise, hopes rise, and then demands rise. And so I can understand why people want more, because once you start to get a little bit more, you hope it snowballs in.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, and just being 8-2, they got to be feeling good about themselves. But this win probably has them not feeling too good about themselves. So it kind of it's a win with a little bit of an asterisk, you know, that you had to come back against a team that previously was pretty bad this season. You know, a different kind of asterisk than the Kansas City game.
I was going to ask you about that. So nice.
Yeah. So getting a win is nice, and kind of keeping them on their toes going into Thanksgiving, because you got a short week for sure.
Yeah, you know, getting the win and having to play a game where you had to come from behind multiple times to win. And that last drive, I mean, those last two drives plus the defensive stops, there was like no room for error anymore. I mean, throughout the game, you can play loose because there's room for error. You know, oh, well, we'll get it back. You know, their backs were getting close to up against the wall. And so it was pretty nice to see them be able to do that and to know we have a team that can do that. I mean, you said earlier, that strike to Jameson Williams. If we need to strike fast, we have the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see, you know, Aaron Glenn make an adjustment during the game. You know, I've kind of ripped on him for not doing that too much and having it go the other way, where the other team makes adjustments to the Lions in the second half and turns things around. But they did kind of tweak their defense and played a little bit different to contain Fields a little bit more as the game went along. In that second half, he wasn't nearly as much of the threat that he was in the first half of the game, where the Lions kind of did what San Diego did to them the week before and started playing a five-man front. And that fifth guy didn't necessarily always, go with the rest of the defensive linemen, sometimes would drop off and stuff like that. But just gave him a different look and something that was a little bit more to more easy to contain the edges.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, I think Alex Anzalone had like 15 tackles in the game. Brian Branch blew up a bunch of plays. He had like 3 tackles for a loss. So the defense stepped up at times when it needed to get done. So that was encouraging. Like you said, the adjustments by Glenn were awesome. James, something I want to mention here. The NFL is having a Fan of the Year contest. And the representative for the Detroit Lions is Robert Gonzalez. Now, he's also known as Lion Eyes because you see he has a Lions jersey and it says Lion Eyes on the back. I actually got to meet him briefly when I was out in Baltimore at the away game. But he's also a season ticket holder. He's been one since 1990. So I guess if you go to NFL.com, you can vote for him. Actually, not. I don't guess. I know I've gone and voted for him. I think you can vote more than once. It might be like once a day or something. But Lions fans, go vote for Lions Eyes, Robert Gonzalez, and let's see if we can't get the Lions fan, the NFL Fan of the Year. That would be fun. James, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
It's just nice to escape with that win after it, for such a long time, did not seem like that was going to happen. And just to get that win, be 8-2 going into Thanksgiving, best record the Lions have had going into the Thanksgiving game since 1962, I think it was. So good things cooking in Detroit. And man, if they can get C.J. Gardner-Johnson back in a couple of weeks, even if it's not two, if it's, three or whatever, that's just another addition to that defense.
Oh, man, that news you said about the potential return of him and the progress we're seeing, that is exciting because think about this a minute. The two guys we brought in from free agency, well, we brought in three, but two out of the three we brought in on free agency got hurt and aren't even contributing right now on the field. And so if you got one of those guys back, it would be a huge boost. And so that would be exciting. And that could be one of those things that helps change the element of our defense as well. So James, I echo those emotions and those sentiments for a good part of the game. I didn't know what was going to happen. And, I'm quite thankful it ended the way it did. As always, James, it's fun talking Detroit Lions with you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. Same back at you.
All right, folks. Remember, Lions are returning into action on Thursday for the Thanksgiving Day game. They're taking on the Packers, who also won a close one today. So we'll preview that matchup. We'll speak with a reporter out of Green Bay. So look for that episode coming out late Monday or early Tuesday. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show. Hit the subscribe button regardless of your listening platform. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.